Listen. Hello? We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
You play to win the game.
Next fan up.
I want winners.
Featuring Pod Vader and the super fans.
They are who we thought they were.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is Next Fan Up. My name is Mark Sitko. This is the podcast by the fans for the fans. We do everything about the NFL. We have a super fan for every single team in the league, and we get together twice a week to talk previews of the games and recaps. You're here now for the Week 11 recap. We're coming to that point in the season where we really start to see who are the people that are going to the playoffs and who are the people that will be sitting watching in February and January. So I have some super fans with me tonight to discuss this. First, I have our Chicago super fan for the Bears, Tom. How you doing, buddy?
I am not unhappy.
Good. Oh, that's good for Tom. That is good. Not unhappy. Good, good, good. And I also have somebody who's more happy, I would assume, Nick, our super fan for Kansas City. How you doing, Nick?
I'm doing good, and I'm ready for the playoffs.
Playoffs?
Nice. I would love to see you guys make a drive. We were talking about this before we got on the air, but you guys play Buffalo next week. We'll eventually talk about that, but if you can beat Buffalo, you guys are going to be right on your way, I think, for a wild card in the AFC. Starting off, actually, Nick, we'll start with you. Let's talk in the AFC. Two teams that I don't believe will be in the playoffs, Tennessee and Jacksonville, played an exciting game on Thursday night. What did you think of that game? Was there anything we should be talking about learning from there?
Well, it was exciting in the fact that there were lead changes and the end was not certain going into the fourth, which I guess, you know, that makes for a good, entertaining NFL game. But this was an extremely sloppy game, the sort of game you'd expect from the Tennessee Titans and the Jacksonville Jaguars. First and most importantly, the Jaguars' uniforms. You know, they went color rush again, and I guess in terms of highlighting solid colors of often the non-primary color of the team. So the Titans were all this electric blue from head to toe, and the Jaguars went all gold, basically, from head to toe. And it basically, you know, the way it rendered itself on the spandex of the uniforms was sort of this mustard yellow. And as awful as it looked, honestly, actually, because I hate their helmets. I made this known on the preview podcast as well. But actually, together with the helmets, it actually for once looked like a coherent scheme. Like this was actually a well thought out, like this is what, you know, your color scheme is. And so from that standpoint, it actually didn't look bad, only because it didn't clash with the helmets too much. But that's only because the helmets are such this awful, awful half chromy gold matte black monstrosity. So therefore, with like the half black, half mustard gold uniforms, they weren't that bad, but no, they need to change those helmets. Is basically what I'm saying. Anyway,
that so is Nick, how bad was the football thing that you talked about the uniforms this long? How bad was the football game?
The it was bad enough that, you know, basically the game was decided largely by other team, each team's mistakes and ineptitude. Mariota actually looked pretty good in this game. He went, and that's really what we're looking for in this, because neither of these teams are going anywhere, but they both have young, interesting quarterbacks. So Mariota went 22 of 35 for 231 yards. He got sacked four times, but he ended up with a really good QBR of 81.8. And I think that showed in the game, because he ran one in for a fairly long touchdown. And he finally showed the ability to sort of combine what he'd learned from being a pocket passer and starting to bring in some of his running skills as well and applying that in the game. Bortles, meanwhile, he was totally up and down. I mean, he ended up 21 of 30 for 242 yards, one touchdown, one interception. Also sacked four times, but a much lower QBR at like the 33.8. And basically, you know, The people that, what I hear most often is Bortles is compared to a young Ben Roethlisberger, because he's got the stature, he's a tall guy, and he's not very mobile. He tends to stand up tall in the pocket and throw deep. And basically, what you're going to get with Bortles every game, and I've watched a few of his games now, is that he's going to make a few just amazing lights out deep passes, and he's going to make a few absolutely inexplicable dumb mistakes, and that is basically young Roethlisberger, and maybe even old Roethlisberger. And so I do think he's growing into that mold. Neither of these teams have very good running games. And yeah, let's face it, neither of these teams are really going anywhere. But it's interesting to see the way that these two quarterbacks are growing, at least. And Jacksonville won this one 19-13.
There's all this talk of like that the quarterbacks, maybe we're watching this great elite time in quarterbacking dying, and maybe we don't have the quarterbacks to step up and replace these legendary quarterbacks, Brady, Peyton, that are seeming to go away. Do you think either of these guys, I think Mariota we would think has a better chance than Bortles, but do either of them have a chance to be those next greats?
No, I think both of them do. I mean, Peyton Manning was awful in his first year. You know, when I said this, like, playoffs thing, you know, at the beginning, that was in reference to, I can't remember the guy's name, his coach that year is his first year in the league.
Jim Mora. Where,
exactly, yeah, Mora. Yeah, thank you, Mora, yeah. He threw tons of interceptions that year, and, I mean, they were a team that was considered to be very competitive. They drafted him high, and he single-handedly lost them some games that year, I mean, in his first year in the league. And so therefore, you know, at some point, some reporter asked him, like, so do you think with this quarterback you can make it to the playoffs? Like, playoffs? Playoffs? You're talking about playoffs? Like, you throw this many interceptions? You can't talk about playoffs. So, I mean, right now, I think we're at the same stage as some of these guys. And who knows how they're going to develop. But I still think they're definitely on the path. And, you know, I think it's quite likely that Blake Bortles could be the next Roethlisberger or Peyton Manning. I mean, they got a long ways to go. But both of these guys have enough promise that they could be the next big stars in the league.
I think the league is full of young quarterbacks that are taking up maybe more than I can ever remember. You know, not just those two, but you know, Derek Carr and Teddy Bridgewater. I look at these guys and I see them developing, and none of them are really bad. There are no Blaine Gabberts in this mix. You know, Jameis Winston is starting to look really good. There's a lot of really good young quarterback talent in the league. So I see a pretty good future, actually, not just from those two, but all over the place. And I completely agree. I like both of those guys.
Yeah, I agree. And people even a shelf above that with Russell Wilson and Cam Newton. I'm like, I can easily see these guys growing into very, very formidable quarterbacks. You know. Russell Wilson's already been to two Super Bowls. People talk like there's no talent below the top shelf. And I'm like, whoa, that's a good quarterback. And he is just going to get better. Indianapolis, Atlanta. Speaking of Peyton's starting place, how did Indianapolis beat Atlanta? What is Atlanta doing? Are they done, Tom? What do you think? What's going on with this team?
Well, I got to tell you, speaking of young quarterbacks, we're going the other way when we talk about Hasselbeck. Who did not make this game look very pretty, but all he does is win. He threw a really ugly pick to Ricardo Allen, and he was really hurt by the lack of a run game. Frank Gore had 18 yards in the first half. I think he was 31 overall for like 2.5 yards per carry or something like that. So it isn't like Indianapolis lit him up or anything like that, but the problem is that Matt Ryan – really, all year he's been up and down, and it happened again today. He had a really nice throw to Patrick DeMarco, who's tight end, but he also threw three picks, and one of them was just a killer near the goal line. He threw the ball right to Quell Jackson, and Jackson took it in the end zone, and they tied the game at that point. And that was in the fourth quarter late. They tied it 21-21, basically on that pick six.
And when you say near the goal line, near their own goal line, like he was standing in his end zone when he threw that, right?
Exactly. It was really a horrible pick. You know, in the first half, he didn't look too bad. He was really helped by the Indianapolis pass defense, which was pretty poor. And they left a lot of receivers open. But once that defense tightened up in the second half, they didn't look too hot. I mean, all he had was Julio Jones, really. They missed Devonta Freeman a lot. He went out with a concussion, and they couldn't run after that. So with that, that loss did not help the Falcons. I have been very unimpressed with Atlanta the last few weeks. I think they're crashing back down to earth, and I think they're falling farther and farther behind in that division, and I don't see them making the playoffs at this point. playing the way that they are. Indianapolis is not that good, and they did not play that well. And Atlanta still couldn't beat them. I got to tell you, I'm not very impressed. One other thing about this game, there was yet another pass in the end zone. This time it was picked off by Dwight Lowry. And initially on the field, I think it was called an incomplete pass. And it certainly looked to me like when it hit the ground, it moved. And the announcers, you know, everyone agreed that this was going to be an incomplete pass. The officials came back after review. And it was another New York special. And they called it an interception in the end zone. And that was a killer. That was a really important play. So if you ask me, it was another Dean Blandino. Let's all wait and see what BS he comes up with this week on Twitter to explain this one away, because I didn't see it. I don't know. I don't think anyone really agreed with it, but it was just another example of this pass rule that is just such a disaster nowadays.
Yeah. The catch. No, rule. I mean, it's incredible. No one knows what a catch is. I mean, it's just crazy. Yeah, we'll see what changes. I'm sure curious if they're going to see changes in this offseason. Interesting for you to talk about Atlanta not being a playoff team, a game I'd love to jump to. It's obviously a game that was interesting to me. Philly got destroyed today by Tampa Bay. Nick, you had a chance to look at this game, right? Do you see Tampa Bay as a team that should be in the playoffs? Did you see them as a team that deserves a wild card in the NFC? And should they be in the position that Atlanta's in? You know, should they pass Atlanta in these next couple of weeks, do you think? What are your thoughts?
Well, obviously Carolina's going to run away. It has run away with the division. But they, and in terms of the wild card, if they play well enough, they really could play themselves into position of getting it. And, you know, really it all goes down to the development of Jameis Winston. As was seen in this game, he ended up with going 19 of 29 for 246 yards, 5 touchdowns. And Doug Martin, though, I mean, and this is the thing, is that I think what turned for Winston in this season is that, you know, that Lovie Smith finally figured out a way of coming up with a balanced attack that didn't rely too much on him and allowed him to make plays when he, you know, when he needs to. And that's because Doug Martin had 27 carries, went off for 235 yards, including an 84-yarder. All of that said, actually, you know, as good as Winston looked, he threw some crazy balls in this that very well could have been intercepted, and honestly should have been intercepted. There's like an alternate universe that's not very different from our own, in which Winston threw like 5 interceptions in this game, and the Eagles won.
I appreciate that. It was really right before his two of his touchdowns that really put them out in the league. He threw like interceptions in the red zone, and we just, you know, both Barwin and Jenkins dropped the ball that would have, had a major shift in the game. We deserve to lose. We got our butts kicked, and our defense didn't make the plays they needed to, but I appreciate you noticing that. It wasn't a flawless game by Winston. I agree.
Oh absolutely. And it also wasn't a flawless game by Mark Sanchez, and his interceptions were caught.
As I said, he Sanchez the Sanchez out of it. Like, he just, right. Oh, man, he went so Sanchez, it was crazy.
He was who we thought he was.
Yes.
2 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, the Sanchez we thought he was. You can probably even explain this game better than I can in terms of what it means going forward in the season. But the Buccaneers are 5-5 now, and so they definitely they totally have a chance in the NFC. As for the Eagles,
we sadly have a chance because the NFC is that bad. The NFC East is that bad. But to me, this is the day I step off the bandwagon. This was the day when I was watching and I was like, "Look, if we can't play, even show up in this game, we don't deserve to be in the playoffs." I honestly feel that way, that out of the 16, we're not one of the best 6 teams in the NFC. Somebody else deserves that spot better than us. I don't know if anybody in the NFC deserves that at all, but I would say at this point, I think probably the Giants or the Cowboys deserve it more than we do. We just look totally pathetic. And I understand it is without our quarterback, and that's a major problem. But even with Bradford, I don't know if we would have done much better today. I thought Winston looked great. I thought his receivers, when they needed to make plays, made plays. Even though Winston was loose, I see a guy who in 2-3 years is going to be very, very strong, and they're just going to continue to build around him. But yeah, my team, unfortunately, the defense has been holding us the entire season, keeping us in games, and today they had a horrible game. Our defense played its worst game of the season, and our offense looked like it normally does, just with more interceptions because Sanchez was a quarterback. And the one golden lining of this is there's no quarterback controversy in Philly. Clearly, Sanchez is not as good as Bradford. I'm not saying Bradford's good, but Bradford's way better than Sanchez. There is no question. And watching Sanchez whine when he would throw an interception, he threw a pick six, and he started bitching at Sproles. And that made me so angry. Sproles works so hard and does such a good job. To watch Sanchez throwing that on him as if it was his fault when he threw a pick six, ugh, totally disgusting. Yeah, I think Sanchez lost a lot of fans in Philly today, and he'll be lucky if he comes back next year. He will, because we have him signed up for a couple of years, and he's going to be our backup. And he's a fine backup, but clearly Bradford's better, and we'll just see if we get somebody else next year. Maybe this Paxton Lynch, we'll see what happens. There was a lot of talk in Philly about this kid because he came in to play Temple this weekend, and already we are looking to the draft. But let's move on. Let's not be too sad here as my Eagles are done and their official obituary status for the season. 2015 is gone. Let's move on to St. Louis, Baltimore. Tom, you had a chance to look at this game, two other very sad teams that are not going anywhere this year. What did you see?
Well, the story of this game was the injuries for Baltimore, which were huge. Justin Forsett fractured an arm. I think he's out for the year. Don't quote me on that. But Joe Flacco is definitely out for the year. He tore his ACL and may have torn his MCL in a really gruesome injury. What's really interesting about this is Flacco was barely able to stand, but he injured his knee in the last offensive set of downs, but he finished the set of downs after the injury, even though he could barely stand. Really tough way to end his season, tough way to end that game. Other than that, I can tell you that it looked to me like nobody really wanted to win this game. Last 2 minutes were a circus. Greg Zuerlein missed a field goal with less than 2 minutes remaining. And then Justin Tucker got a shot for Baltimore, and he missed a field goal with even less time than that. And then with something like 24 seconds left, Tucker finally hit the game-winning field goal, and Baltimore finally decided to win. But other than that, I can tell you it just looked to me like nobody really wanted to, you know, put the ball through the uprights. As far as if you're a St. Louis fan, you can't be very happy right now. Their offensive line looked really sick. Greg Robinson had a terrible game. Again, he leads the NFL in holding penalties. He whiffed on a sack. They are not looking good, and that did not help Case Keenum, who did not have a good game and is not an upgrade over Nick Foles, who looked really horrid last week. So right now that team is really taking a nosedive, and that's particularly disappointing to me because I kind of thought they were a playoff team this year. But Jeff Fisher may finally get his just desserts, and he may get fired because they look really bad. And except for Aaron Donald, there isn't much to like about that team right now.
Yeah, I think it's a good time to fire Fisher and bring in another coach and try to get that team going while the rest of that division is in, you know, Arizona doesn't have much time with Palmer. So it's the time to get in the right position for the future in the NFC West, I feel like. And if they could get a good coach in there, they could get a good quarterback, they could be in great shape. Another team, Washington, that is not doing so well, playing another of the have teams that is doing great, Carolina. This was a blowout game, similar to the Eagles game. Carolina put up 44, Washington 16. Really, the only thing to say here, Cam Newton had a great day, put up 4 touchdowns in the first half, just like Winston did on us. I think Washington is in a very similar boat to the Eagles. We are not really contenders this year, and we should be out of the way. If anything, Washington can say, I do like Cousins, and I think he's enough to build around, and I hope they stick with him and do that, and they don't fire everyone as Washington has been wont to do, but we'll see what happens. I think Carolina's a great team. I think they're going to be one of the better teams that goes into the playoffs, and I'm very sure they will be in the NFC Championship game. I don't know if they'll win it. I don't know if they're going to the Super Bowl, but I have a lot of confidence that will be one of the teams that is fighting for the title of the NFC. Moving on, Tom, Denver and Chicago. This is your game. You guys came close, actually tying it. If you could have gotten the 2 point at the end of the game, what did you think?
Yeah, it was really kind of a miracle that the Bears really hung in this game because they were outclassed on the field. Denver has much more talent, a lot more speed, in my opinion. The Bears lost the line of scrimmage all game. They couldn't run. Jay Cutler was under siege. It was not pretty, but they played such a clean game otherwise. To give you an example, Cutler threw two picks, but they weren't really bad picks. One was kind of a fluke, and the other one was to a linebacker who was covering a wide receiver. It was the right throw. But what's to give you an example of how clean they played, they had no penalties in this game. And really, you know, hung around by just not beating themselves for the most part. And unfortunately, they played against a Denver team that didn't play too badly. And in the end, the better team won. A lot of people are going to want to know how Brock Osweiler did. I thought he did really well. I thought he was accurate. I thought he made good decisions. I thought he has a good deep ball. He's not exactly a young Peyton Manning. I thought he stared down receivers a little bit, and I think that's eventually going to burn him. But generally, he looks to me like he's a pretty good pro quarterback. He really looked like he belonged out there. And based upon one game, admittedly, I think that he's got a future in the league with the Broncos.
But beyond future in the league, Tom, what about these playoffs? I mean, if you were going to the playoffs at this point, which quarterback would you go with?
Oh, well, it depends. And I can't really answer that definitively because I have a sneaking suspicion that they're resting Peyton Manning for the playoffs. I think you guys talked about this last week. Mm-hmm. And you and Nick both made a very good point. He looked very good coming off of the bye against the Packers. And then he's slipped away ever since then and looked worse and worse. And, yeah, you know, he might be injured and they might be waiting for it to heal, and that might be a big deal. But something tells me that resting him for a few weeks might be what he needs. And if they can get the Peyton Manning that came out of that bye week, you play him in the playoffs. He can still lead a game-winning drive, and he's still got a lot left if that's the case. But if we see the guy who played last week, there's no way. You have to play. You have to play Osweiler, and he looked good enough to where, you know, they'd have a reasonable chance to win a game or two in the playoffs. He's not going to kill. It's not going to kill them, in my opinion. Nick may have a different view on this, but from what I saw today, Brock Osweiler is not going to kill them in the playoffs, and I think their defense is good enough to where they could win. They could do some damage, but yeah. I could be wrong.
What now, do you I watched think this game too.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, Osweiler did play very well in this game, but I sort of like Tom said that, you know, he was really staring down receivers, and I think I don't know. I'm curious to hear Tom's what he says about the Bears' defense, because they just seemed sort of undermanned. It seemed like there was a lot of things he was doing that could have been exploited. But I was dead wrong that, you know, that going against Fox and Gase was going to be a detriment to him. He ended up with very good numbers. He performed very well in this game. The other thing, though, I wanted to point out, I mean, and in terms of the whole, you know, should you keep with him? I mean, I think he's definitely earned his start for next week. There's no question in my mind about that. And they definitely got to keep seeing what he's got. Even if Manning is in witness protection, because I don't know if you guys saw the NFL.com reporting, but not only has Manning not been like he's not been treated like a normal injured player. He was not in the facility at all this week. He was not on the sidelines helping out Osweiler. He was just like at home. He's rehabbing at home, and I don't know. It very well could just be that Peyton is just sort of angry with himself with how he played, and like just sort of what is just like brooding and like sitting in a dark room that's candlelit, reading over plays or something. But
by the way, tunes.
Yeah. Well, he owns like 21 Papa John's franchises or something. Maybe he's eating a bunch of pizza. I don't know.
He's eating chicken parmesan sandwiches. That's what he's doing.
Right. But the other thing that stood out to me, and granted, as a Chiefs fan, I have to point this out. The announcers pointed out at some point, you know, this – it used to be that the kind of the Steelers and the Baltimore Ravens used to be sort of like the really sort of really physical, you know, borderline dirty teams. But this Denver team, at some point in the third quarter, the announcers pointed out they're by far lead the league in personal foul penalties. They had 21 at that point in the game, and they've been fined over $420,000 in personal foul fines. That is insane. They're definitely going to break $500,000 in personal foul fines by the end of the year. And so as a Chiefs fan, I just have to point out that I think they are playing their way into, you know, maybe one of the dirtiest teams in decades. So yeah, those are my thoughts.
They're the only team that's tried to remove an eye this year, as far as I know. There's the only team that tried to rip someone's eye out of their face.
They went full on any given Sunday.
Not only did he try to rip a guy's eye out of his face, but he acted like he shouldn't have even been flagged for it. I mean, he was like, I mean, how clueless can you be?
What are fingers for if not to poke eyes out? That's what they're for. Nick, did you have anything, Tom, you wanted to say? I'm sorry I jumped in with the quarterback conversation, but is there anything else you wanted to say about that game before we move on?
No, I think that pretty well covers it. I think the Bears were outmanned. I'm not unhappy as a fan because I think, as Nick pointed out, I think they were undermanned. I don't really think that they have a great deal of talent, and I thought they played very well to hang in this game, and I liked what I saw personally. That was all I really had to say, other than the news about the Broncos.
Yeah, totally. Awesome. Yeah, I'm excited to see what Chicago does next year. I want to hear a happier Tom. We'll see what happens. But yes, I'm excited to see what the offseason can bring in Chicago. Nick, you had a chance to check out the Oakland and Detroit game. These two teams are probably not going anywhere, especially after Oakland loses to Detroit today. But what do you think?
Well, to my great joy, the Detroit Lions beat the Oakland Raiders 18-13. And you know, neither team looked great in this game. Basically, what it seemed to be was sort of the revival of Matthew Stafford. He sort of stabilized his game a bit. He went 22 of 35 for 282 yards. No touchdowns, but at least was productive enough that it helped everything else work. Meanwhile, Derek Carr really fell back to earth. He barely passed over 50% with 13 of 25 for 169 yards. And Latavius Murray, I mean, I thought he was going to have a big game here, just based on the way that the Chiefs played them a few weeks ago, where their linebackers looked really sluggish, and just it just seemed like there was a lot of ways you could exploit that with the kind of the speed that Oakland has on offense. But they really did. Latavius Murray went 13 for 28, and he had a touchdown, but. Basically, I mean, this was an ugly, ugly game of mistakes, and the Lions came away with it. And, you know, we'll talk more about this as the podcast goes on, but the Raiders, they've had a great story this season, but it just seems like they're not quite ready for prime time. And while they'll still probably hang around in the discussion for the wild card for a while, they definitely have an uphill battle at this point.
Yeah, there's two teams. The next game that we want to talk about, I think, are in a very similar boat. The Jets lost to Houston today. Houston is rising. They were able to beat Cincinnati last week and beat the Jets this week, but I don't know if they're going to rise fast enough to get into the discussion. And then the Jets, yeah, right at the point where they really need to get it together, are falling. I think what was the problem with this game, really what happened for the Jets, and this is with the way the Jets are built, I think the biggest challenge they're going to have is if they fall behind. And basically they played this entire game behind the eight ball with Houston, and they just don't have the type of team that can like catch up and beat a team. Ivory had a great game running the eight ball, 8 runs for 36 yards. He's averaging like 4.5, but he only gets 8 carries because they're behind so long. Fitzy throws the ball almost 40 times. He's only completing like 50% of his passes, throws 2 interceptions, including the one on the final drive where they have the ball and they're marching down and he throws the pick to lose the game. I think Fitzy's fine to build around if they really build up that defense, but they need to get a better, more consistent running game than Ivory was able to give this year. Maybe just one other guy to supplement Ivory, and then a couple more weapons for Fitzy, and they're going to be all right. Revis went out of this game with a head injury, I'm assuming a concussion. He left late in the third. We'll see how that pans out, but obviously that didn't help towards the end of the game. I think this is, like I said, very similar to Oakland. When we look at the AFC, there's a few teams there, Buffalo, the Jets, Oakland, Houston, that are fighting. But I think the two teams that are probably going to get the wild cards are Pittsburgh and KC. We'll see how that goes. Another game that I looked at was the Dallas Miami. Oh, go ahead.
This is a crushing loss if you're a Jets fan, because they really think they're a playoff team, I think. And if that's the case, then playing Houston's kind of a gimme. I mean, even with that, even with that defense, that's a team that you think you ought to beat. And to lose to that team is really crushing to them. And I wonder how many people really just lost their playoff hopes today, not because they're completely out of it numerically, but because they're just not playing good enough. And you have to kind of wonder if they've got what it takes to break through this year. And that's really too bad. Yeah. I thought they were a playoff team, but I don't think that anymore.
I don't think so. I think they're in a very similar boat to where we are. And we beat the Jets early this year, not to say that that stands forever or whatever. But, I feel we're in a very similar boat. They just don't have what it takes to beat a team. I mean, you're going to get to the playoffs and have to go into New England or go into Cincinnati. Not that Houston didn't beat Cincinnati last week, but I don't know if the Jets could do that. Yeah, we'll see. But I think it's back to the drawing board for a lot of teams this week. Speaking of, to Dallas and Miami, very crushing for Miami as well to lose today. Dallas gets Romo back. Romo at the beginning looked very Romo-esque. He drives down and throws an interception in the red zone. But in the end, they just had more firepower and they're able to pull out and win the game. I'm not a person that believes Dallas can make a run. Maybe. I mean, they definitely can catch up with us. But I don't think they're going to make a run and do anything too dangerous. I think there's a lot of holes in that team beyond Romo. But their defense was enough to handle Miami today and really shut down Tannehill, especially early in that game, and get them out there for a win. I don't know if anybody has anything else to add to that game. But let's jump out to KC San Diego, Nick. You guys really took care of business today. How did you feel?
Well, it ended up being a total domination by the Chiefs. They ended up 33-3 winning this game. But it was actually a really weird game and, frankly, kind of a boring game for most of it, even as a Chiefs fan. It was 12-9 at half and 19-3 going into the fourth. And at that point, the only touchdowns in the game had been scored by Justin Houston on an interception returned for a touchdown on defense, and Dontari Poe on offense. There's been a few times the Chiefs have used Dontari Poe, who's like the heaviest player on our team and maybe one of the heaviest players in the league, as a fullback, just to like run through and like clear the path for a running back. This time they handed off to him and he actually jumped over the line into the end zone. Check that out if you get the chance. The video of it's pretty hilarious. But anyways, that was the sort of game that it was. But also there was a lot of injuries in this game. Macklin went out with a shot to the head. It looked like he got a concussion, but he came back after a few quarters. Also, our other wide receiver, DeAnthony Thomas, went out with a concussion. He got hit really hard. And the Chargers also lost a lineman. And so, I mean, the Chiefs were really far down. And also, Charcandrick West went down halfway through. And this is also one of the encouraging things, I guess, for the Chiefs. And one of the interesting things about how the Chiefs sort of find their identity here is that, you know, there's always been sort of a conflict between the fact that Andy Reid really wants us to be a West Coast pass-happy team. And it's just always been – it just ends up personnel-wise, we're just better as a run-first team. And the line is better at run blocking than pass blocking. We end up with way better running backs than wide receivers. And it turned out this way too, because Nile Davis was a healthy scratch in this game. And so with Charcandrick West down, we went to Spencer Ware, who's been, you know, he's a journeyman. He's bounced around practice squads is what I'm looking for. Mm-hmm. And just like in the fourth quarter, for the most part, he had 11 carries for 96 yards and two touchdowns, including a 52-yarder. I mean, basically by the fourth quarter, this was like a preseason game. It was the Chiefs were fielding almost all backups. But in his case, it was because they had nobody else. All the other running backs were either injured or inactive. And he still had a great deal of success. So it's clear that the Chiefs have built something where they're not going to be real flashy, but they're going to score some points on you, especially because the defense is just going to shut you down. And in that same vein, Alex Smith actually had a pretty good game. He went 20 for 25 or 203 yards, and he didn't have any touchdowns, but Travis Kelce dropped a sure touchdown and a beautiful pass into the end zone. And he also had, and that was one of a few different miscues he had where he really hurt the team. And that's sort of been Kelce's thing. He has a ton of raw talent. He could be as good as Gronk, but he just hasn't fixed his own little mistakes. On the other hand, for the Chiefs, Holly had two sacks on Phillip Rivers. Phillip Rivers has not been sacked by any player more than Tamba Holly, which I kind of enjoy. He's been sacked by Tamba Holly now 13 and a half times, which was fun. And other than that, now the last time that the Chiefs both beat the Chargers in San Diego and Denver in Denver was 1995. So I guess the Chiefs are doing pretty well. On San Diego's side, they couldn't get anything going. I mean, they, as usual, Phillip Rivers made his yards. Melvin Gordon couldn't go anywhere. But it really did feel sort of sad just because, I mean, it's just so clear that their wings have been clipped by injuries this season, and they're going nowhere. I think there's now – there should be legitimate questions about if any head should roll at the end of their season. But I don't even know who you'd choose there. As came up in our superfan battle with me and Ken last week, it's just so difficult to evaluate this team because of how many injuries that they've suffered, and they've had to field, you know, only half of a professional team out there. So for the Chiefs, and talking about playoffs, the Chiefs are now 5-5. There's a whole bunch of AFC teams that are 5-5. But the Chiefs have as good of a shot as anybody. Not only do they have the tiebreaker already over Pittsburgh, should they end up head-to-head with them, they're playing the Bills next week at home. That's going to be a big game. And just overall, I think they've looked the most impressive out of those teams that are sort of middling and fighting for that spot. They, in terms of net points, the Chiefs are plus 59, which – you know, for a 5-5 team, shows you that they've been losing close and winning, you know, big time. If you look at actually the league standings, the Chiefs are that makes them fifth in the league for net points. I feel pretty good about the Chiefs. Their hardest game left on the schedule on paper is the Buffalo Bills, who are probably going to be 5-5 after Monday. And then they play the Raiders twice. They don't look nearly as scary as they used to. And then they have games against the Chargers again, the Browns, and the Ravens without Flacco. So yeah. I think I feel pretty confident the Chiefs are going to find their way back in the playoffs this year.
Yeah, you guys should push for that fifth seed, and then you get to go in and play Indy or Houston or Jax, and you're just going to be able to roll. I mean, that would be a great position if you guys can put yourself in that fifth seed by the end of this year. We'll see how it goes. Tom, you checked out another game, two teams that are also wondering about how they're going to go into the playoffs and what it's going to be like, Green Bay and Minnesota. Green Bay pulls out the win and kind of takes control of that division for now. What did you think?
Well, most of the country saw this game, and that's really too bad because it was a major disappointment, Mike. I was talking to you guys before the podcast, so I know that you share my opinion on this. Neither one of these teams looked very good. I can start with the Vikings who, let's just start with the fact that their offensive line is terrible. I mean, and that has been their Achilles heel all year. It was really exposed more than usual today, but I get to see them play a lot, and that offensive line is their Achilles heel. There were way too many penalties, and the Packers were just all over Teddy Bridgewater. He would often drop back, make one read, and then there was a guy in yellow on top of him. And then he was scrambling around, running around, trying to find somebody. Even when he had time, nobody was – well, let's put it this way. There's either a problem with Bridgewater or there's a problem with his receivers. And this happens every game where he'll drop back and he won't be able to find an open receiver. And I honestly don't know if the receivers are open and he's not finding them or if – or if it's hit, or if it's the other way around. I suspect it's the other way around. I have a feeling that Stephon Diggs is the only wide receiver on that team. And if it isn't him or Kyle Rudolph, that nobody's popping open. And that's a major problem. So they have a lot of offensive problems. The Packers were not, I mean, they were better. They were the better team. The better team won. But it isn't like they looked all that good either. Their offense frequently did not look like it was in sync. There was a lot of miscommunications, a lot of really bad drops. Randall Cobb had a couple of bad drops. James Jones does not look a whole lot better. He made some good catches, but boy, he made some boneheaded drops. And there were some plays where it was just obvious that Aaron Rodgers expected him to be in a different spot, and he was nowhere near what he was supposed to be. So I don't know what the problems are with these two teams, but I can tell you that neither one of them is going to do any damage in the playoffs, assuming that they make it, playing like this. And of the two, Green Bay is the one that has the best chance to do a little damage. I think if they ever pull it together and play like they're capable of, that they could make a run, just like everybody predicted at the beginning of the year. And history tells me that may happen. Mike McCarthy is a very good head coach, and I have not given up hope yet that they may yet turn it around and look okay by the end of the year. But the Vikings, with that offensive line, they're going nowhere. And that defense looked okay, but again, way too many penalties. This is the way the half ended. Terrence Newman interference penalty that gave the Packers all kinds of yardage and got them into field goal range. That was followed by a stupid roughing the passer penalty where Aaron Rodgers just got shoved to the turf, a little shove late that was completely unnecessary. I just don't know what they were thinking. And then there was an illegal contact penalty. And after giving them a million chances, they finally scored a TD. But, I mean, they needed every one of those chances. They needed every one of those penalties to score. They weren't looking good. But the Vikings just kept shooting themselves in the foot all game. And if they keep that up, combined with that offensive line, they're going nowhere this year. Mm.
Do you see Bridgewater as one of those quarterbacks of the future?
I do. I really do. I don't know exactly what the problem is with him not finding the receivers, but I liked him in college. I like him as a pro. He makes a lot of good plays, and he made a lot of good plays today when he had time to throw. But I don't think the talent around him is up to snuff. And without an offensive line, without at least one more really good receiver, he's going to have a tough time, even with Adrian Peterson, who also did not have a good game. Both of these teams, neither one of these teams ran the ball very well. Peterson went nowhere. The Vikings had just less than 100 yards rushing. The Packers had more than 100 yards. Most of that was Eddie Lacy. But to my eye, there were a lot of Vikings in the offensive backfield that got a lot of penetration against the run, especially early before they wore down a little bit. And I don't think that is another thing the Packers have to be able to do. They have to be able to run the ball. And I didn't see enough from them today to prove to me that they are over that problem yet.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. It's going to be very interesting with those two teams. I think Green Bay, without having the bye, having to go to the playoffs and play in Carolina or Arizona, is going to have a lot of trouble. Going all the way back to that injury at the very beginning with Nelson may have been the final straw that it makes that team not go, which is fascinating. And they've just been trying to figure it out without him.
They're ordinarily not that fragile. The Packers usually bounce back from injuries like that, even to people like Jordy Nelson. And there's something else going on here. If that offense had run the way that it's run in the past, with everybody on the same page and everybody being where they're supposed to be, and they've always dropped more balls than is good for them, but nothing like this. Something else is wrong with that team. They're off for some reason. I don't know. Offensively, maybe it's because McCarthy is not spending as much time in the meeting room with the offense anymore, because he said he was going to start spreading himself around. He put more on Tom Clement's shoulders. Maybe that's part of the problem. I really don't know, but they are out of sync in a way that they ordinarily are not out of sync. And I'm not saying that they can't pull it together and still make a run in the playoffs, but I haven't seen enough yet to convince me that it's going to happen, and I'm starting to wonder if they're not Tiger Woods after, you know, that infamous incident where we all said, well, he'll be back, and then he never came back. I'd hate to think that that's the position the Packers are in, but it might be. They're going on a month now, and they haven't looked very good. Even this week, I didn't think they looked that good.
Mm-hmm. Well, but when they won the Super Bowl, didn't they have, like, the most players on IR of any team in the league? I mean, they also, that year, they were extremely injured.
Yeah, and they've been injured on their offensive line a lot historically. And Aaron Rodgers, who, you know, is seeing a fair bit of pressure this year again, but historically, that hasn't mattered. He's been at the top of the league despite being one of the most sacked quarterbacks in the league in the past. And this year it seems to be affecting him more. And I don't know if it's just because everything's discombobulated and he doesn't have quite as much faith in the people around him as usual. But ordinarily, he passes his way out of these situations. And it's not happening this year, at least not yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very interesting. Like I said, yeah, we'll see what happens with those two teams and how the playoffs go for them. I expected a better game today. Speaking of a team that needs to be playing better, San Francisco, Seattle, Gabbert has been brought in and they have benched Kaepernick. It was hilarious watching the game. They just kept running tags at the bottom of the screen that were like, Colin Kaepernick's position with the Niners may be in question. It's like, oh yeah, really? When you get benched for Blaine Gabbert, that's more than questionable. He's gone. He's definitely gone. Unfortunately, watch, we're going to have him early. He's going to be the new Sanchez. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Just very strange. Strange little things.
Does anybody know what the injury was?
I don't.
I mean, I don't think it's been reported. I don't know what went wrong here. I don't know what the – maybe it's to his head. You know, he can't think like a corner.
Yes, exactly. I'm not sure. But obviously, he's done there. San Francisco's in real trouble. Seattle, you know, we'll see if Seattle makes a push for the playoffs. They have a chance at one of those wild card spots. Maybe they needed to win a game like they did today, and they did that easily, even without Lynch. They looked very strong. San Fran, yeah, they simply do not have the horses to keep up with a team like this. They were making too many mistakes. Seattle did not look great. Seattle still looks like a much a shadow of the team they were a couple of the last 2 years. But they were formidable. They were playing well enough to beat a team like San Francisco today. I don't think there's a whole lot more to say there. I don't expect Seattle to make the playoffs, but they could. They are still in position. Finally, we have the game that's going on just starting now, Cincinnati, Arizona, guys. Any thoughts as we close up the show tonight? Is there any thoughts on who's going to win this game? For my pick'em, I picked Arizona. I was able to gain two games this week on Greg and one game on Cowboys Brian. So I'm moving out ahead. I'm still running the pick'em area. But I chose Arizona because they're the home team tonight. I know it'll be crazy for Cincinnati to drop two in a row, but I think that's what's going to happen. Any other thoughts on these two teams?
I picked the Bengals. I think they're maybe a slightly better team. The Cardinals are very talented, and they have the ability to beat anyone in the league. But to my eye, they're not as consistent. And a lot of the times, they'll outplay the other team and still lose. And that makes me a little wary of picking them in games like this. But that's all I really have on it. My impression is that the Bengals are simply the better team. And I think they're a little bit more consistent, even given last week's loss.
Yeah, I think of them as very 50-50. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, I just think it's important to take sort of the long perspective on this a bit, because these teams have been fairly consistent. They've been sort of, you know, there's a lot of teams that started out, we thought they were going to be good, and they ended up being bad, and we find out, oh, yeah, this isn't a good team, or vice versa. But both these teams have been fairly steady all season. The thing is that lately, Arizona's had some really big wins in terms of just they've blown people out. And we have that Bengals loss to the Texans on Monday night still fresh in our minds. But you have to remember, this is still the Arizona team. That was, for one, that was the Bengals' only loss so far this season. And Arizona's lost two games already this season. One of those, they lost at home to the St. Louis Rams. So, you know, these guys do have chinks in their armor. I'm with Tom. I mean, I think the Bengals are overall the more complete team. And I don't think – I mean, there was sort of a perfect storm of bad things that happened to the Bengals on Monday night. I personally think that the Bengals will you know, they're not going to have all of those things bounce the wrong way this tonight, and I think that they're going to pull it out, but we will see.
Yeah, I think it was really, for me, I think of them as very close, and it's always hard to compare an NFC and an AFC team. They just don't play often enough to really know how those parts are going to go against each other. So I was taking, I think, really off Arizona being the home team and trusting that's going to be an advantage for them. But I think it's hard to pick these two teams. I think they're both good. They're both going to the playoffs, and they both have a chance for a Super Bowl run this year, which is, you know, would be awesome for both these teams. We'll see how it goes. The Bengals just intercepted the ball, and they're now in the red zone pushing to score. The game is 0-0 as we finish, so we'll see how that goes.
One final thought. You sort of touched upon this, but both of you guys have sort of unsure quarterback situations. Would either of you be interested in Kaepernick?
My biggest fear, I have a big fear he's going to end up on the Eagles, but I am not that interested. I don't think Chip will be interested because I think his big problem is he makes horrible decisions, and I think that's what Chip needs more than anything. People say it's a mobile quarterback, and I just don't think that's true. I think it's bottom line day. People have to make – Chip's going to get guys open. You need to be able to make decisions quickly, have good pocket presence, and get the ball where it needs to be. And I just don't see that in Kaepernick, but I'm worried that he will end up with us. Same with RG3. I could see both of these guys being possible Eagles in the future, and I'm not really interested in either. I'd rather RG3 over Kaepernick. Tom, what do you think? Would you want to see him in Chicago?
Yeah, I would not want to see him, and I'm reasonably confident that I won't have to. I don't think that he fits what they want to do here. I think like most teams, Chip might be an exception to this, but he might be able to make good use of Kaepernick, but here I think they want a pocket quarterback. I think Kaepernick has shown that he can't throw from the pocket, at least not that I've seen for quite a long time now. Mm-hmm. He might be the same guy, you know, from a year or two ago, but I see a guy who forgot to play quarterback, and I don't know if he can be salvaged right now. I think he might be so far gone that even Adam Gase couldn't really, you know, work any magic with him. So no, I wouldn't want to see him here.
What intrigues and worries me.
Good.
Yeah. So what intrigues and worries me is he seems like the sort of guy, sort of like Michael Vick, that Andy Reid could look at and say, I think I could make that guy work. But I could totally see Reid taking him in, and I also could see the hilarious irony of Kaepernick taking the job from Alex Smith on two different teams.
No, exactly. That'd be crazy. That would be his worst nightmare. That's the day that Alex Smith like loses his mind, is when Kaepernick walks into that training room. Hey, what's up? How you doing, Alex? Oh God,
I'm back.
Came to sign my contract. Oh, my locker's right next to yours. Oh, fascinating. frightening. But yeah, that's crazy, man. I wonder if he'll end up on one of our three teams next year. It's fascinating that we all have a chance at that.
Yeah
I think the Bears are going to draft a quarterback. I hope they will, but right now, you know, unless Cutler takes a nosedive, I think he's back next year. There's nothing I can do about that. I think much though I wish I could. So I think they're looking for somebody in the draft. I don't think they want to sign somebody right now.
Yeah. And to be clear, none of us think Buffalo's beating New England tomorrow, right?
Nope.
New England's winning the game.
I will stick my neck out and say that I think they may be able to do it.
It's possible.
Yeah. I would say, all right, what the heck? I'll predict. Yes, I will predict that Buffalo will win. I will predict that they will attack. I will predict that they will attack the New England defensive backfield the same way the Giants did, and that this time that the Buffalo defense will play very well, and I will predict that they will win. So if they win tomorrow, you guys remember I'm God, and if they. If they don't win, well, then you can forget about it.
That is what I love about you, Tom, is that you're willing to put your happiness on the line for football. That is awesome, Tom. We will see how it goes. Right on. Thank you so much, guys. This was a great show. I appreciate us getting through all these games so quickly. We'll be back on Thursday. Pod Vader will be, actually, it'll be a Wednesday show. This is where we're going to Thanksgiving week. Pod Vader's doing a special show on Wednesday, getting us ready for the Thanksgiving games on Thursday and through that weekend. I will be back on Sunday. Thank you, Nick. Thank you, Tom. I really appreciate it, guys. You can follow us on at NFU Podcast on Twitter. If you go on Facebook, you just type in Next Fan Up. You will find us there. Yeah, guys, it's been a great time. Awesome, crazy week. I'm still dominating in Pick'em.
We're on to Cincinnati.